गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं भवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन् ऋतिभिः सेदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Consider yourself comfortably. Take a few deep breaths. Feel with each long exhale my body is relaxing. Take my attention and I observe the hearing faculty. I'm not listening to anything, I'm observing the hearing. Just like I were to observe an object outside, I can see it, I can observe it. Same way I can just observe the hearing. Isn't it an object of my attention, object that I can observe? Come across an external object, I didn't make it be there or appear as it is. I'm just aware of it. Same with the hearing. Did I make the hearing appear this way? Right, isn't the hearing just happening? Out of habit, I identify, say, I am hearing this. But can I, as an observation, just step back and watch it? Not get caught up in its content. Watching an external object or watching the hearing from the observer perspective, isn't it the same thing? I am aware of something. Shift my attention to the body. I'm aware of the sensations throughout the body. I just observe the sensations. I don't say, I am feeling this type of sensation. Can I just observe them? Isn't this the same as observing an object? I'm aware of the object. Here, I'm aware of the sensations. And out of habit, I become a hearer, I become a feeler, seer, etc. When I step back and observe, when I look closely, then where did that hearer go? It was just hearing. Where the one who's feeling this sense of touch go? There's just sensation. Siti pralaya hetura chintya shaktim Vishveshwaram vidita vishwamananta murtim Nirmukta bandhanam apara sukham bhurashim Shri Vallabham vimalabodhaghanam namami. Good evening. Put the spotlight on. So, two questions that were asked at the end of last class, so the meditation was for one of them. Because what happens is, I say that I see, I hear. But there is, what we say is actually what happens is there is seeing, afterwards the seer comes. It's not that there's subject, there's object, there is seeing. There is seeing, that it happens. It's not something you do. Do you have to do anything to see? Yes, you have to open the eyes, but the eyes are opened, you do something. Now I'm going to do something to see. You don't, the seeing happens. The hearing you actually have to do the other eye. Seeing, you close the eyes, but hearing, you don't have something to close. Touching, you don't have something to stop it, right? You can numb it, but that's beside the point. Just like, you know, the sun is there and I can cover it, so I can close the window so the light doesn't come in. But in any case, what happens then is it happens. When you're just aware of it, there's just hearing, just there isn't a who or a what. But then I come in and I say there's me, and there is the object, and the seeing is connecting. But that's not what happens directly, that's after the fact. So we add that to it, like this. When you're really present, then there isn't. When you're very busy present something, there isn't a question of subject, object, all this. So the mind goes in and breaks it up like this. Now, of course, for doing things, then for practical purposes, it's useful. There's nothing wrong with it. But for my identity, that's the issue. That's the problem. That's why that question came up. So this helps a little bit to point that out. Okay. The other question with me, what happens? The question was on the spot later. I thought, oh, these points are important, so let's continue answering them now. Why not? Doesn't hurt. So Seema had asked about the understands everything, conscience is what about me. Well, now we're not looking at the everything now, we're looking at you, right? Tat tvampadavicharam. So don't worry about the everything, let it be what it is. We'll look at it too. But you look at yourself, like now. They're all, you know, last 20 verses or so, most of what it's been looking at is the tvampada, I. So look at that, right? And it's pointing everything about that, how that is the awareful being, that isn't limited, all these things it's looking at. So looking at this, later on it'll discuss what everything is. Later on it'll say why there isn't the duality. But let's stick to this, so focus on that. Don't worry about what the rest is for now. Okay, I think this would be helpful because everything is conscious. Let it be consciousness or whatever. Now you can look at yourself. Okay, and then later, once we analyze this, we analyze that, then let's see why they're one and the same. Okay, something like this. So let's go move on to our next verse here. It's number 29. Number 29, in the English letters, it's correct. In the Sanskrit, the second word there, it's saying bhava or bhavaha. If you were to break it, they didn't put it there. But that word is missing in the Devanagari, in the Sanskrit letters, okay? If you see, putra, it's putravitadayo, then bhava is missing in the Sanskrit, but not in the English letters. So just so you know, we're chanting, you'll say, where did that word come from, okay? So, putravitadayo bhava.
Yasya
Sheshataya
Priyaha
Drashta Sarva Priyatamaha
Sohamitya
Vadharaya
Soham Mitre Vadharaya.
Usually the Sanskrit is condensed and then the translation is expanded, but here the translator condensed it, over-condensed it.
Page 29, number 24.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The Devanagari got all mixed up.
Yeah. Sorry.
No problem. Do you read the Devanagari or the English? Or the Devanagari a little harder, I guess.
Yeah.
No problem. Whatever you read is good. So, for whose sake children, wealth, etc. are dear, that dearest am I, thus ascertain. It's made it a little short. So, for whose sake the children, wealth, are dear, that dearest is the drashta, right? Is the awareful being. You are ascertained that you are that. Just made it a little short of the person or translator, no problem, like this. So in any case, here now it's going to another point about Atma, right? It's talking about the Ananda. Because Priya, love or joy, ananda, this is what it's pointing out about this. And this is taken, this point is taken from one section in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, directly like this. So what happens, certain verses are specifically pointed to certain things in certain Upanishads. And actually a lot of these texts, here it's, I think later on, if I remember correctly, we'll actually point to a quote, but a lot of but they don't just bring their own ideas. They're pointing to that, to the original text, and that's why a lot of time you'll see actually quotes to show, look, like when we studied the Panchadashi, there, here, and there would point out, and it's to show, look, it's not just my idea. This is directly from Upanishad, like this. Okay, so here, this in this section in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it's, I think it's called Maitreya Brahmana, if I'm not mistaken. What happens is Yajnavalkya, a great sage, a rishi, so he is going to renounce and go to the forest. Renounce forest, so he's going to leave. Now he is well-to-do and everything. So he's, and he has two wives, Katyayani and Maitreyi. So what he's going to do, he tells them, okay, I'm leaving, I'll divide the wealth between you, you're taking care of everything you need, I'm going to renounce and go. So then, Katyayani was very happy, no problem. She'll peace. She has security, everything. She's taken care. So Maitreya, though, was very curious. Because look, okay, he's leaving everything. So if he's just leaving everything and leaving the wealth, meaning there's something more valuable than that. So she was asking, well, so I'll have all this wealth. What will it give me? Will it give me immortality? Meaning, what will it... Immortality meaning what? What happens is, I want to not cease being. I want to keep existing, right? That's what I want. People want to go to the heaven. That's part of their... Some people, that's their goal, because they want to not stop existing. They want to keep being, existing, right? I don't want to stop existing. People that have had near-death experiences don't have fear of death because they know they continue to exist. So they don't have doubt about it. So their fear of death has gone away like this. So in this. And also, I want to know. I'm curious. I want to know. I don't want to not understand. Right? I want to know things. I also want to know, to understand like this. I don't want to be, not to have that. Right? So sat and chit. And then I also want to be happy. Right? I want to be joy. Those are the things I want. And we pointed out before, the Atma doesn't have these limitations. That's why we say Satchidananda, because not limited, that this body has its limitation, time and spatial limitation, but not Atma. So we say sat because it doesn't have this limitation. And chit because it's the knowingness itself. So all knowledge is any knowledge like a wave in the ocean, infinite ocean of consciousness, of the awareful being. So chit isn't specific knowing, but it's the knowingness. So all knowledge can only fall within this, because any knowledge is like, you know, you have the infinite length, so you say I have this much space. So what is that? It's part of the infinite space. The space doesn't have parts of this, but I have that, so it's contained within it. It's all knowledge contained within it, as good as being contained within it. And then, of course, I want to be happy, so I'm looking for the happiness. This is what happens. So she asked about this, will that give me this that I'm looking for, the security and the happiness, the knowledge will give me that. And he said, no, that won't give that to you. No. So what? So, you know, so then what? Why? So what is it, what will give that? Why do us? So this discussion between the two, he teaches her about it, like this. So one interesting point then that happens is this, is I want to find this happiness, right? I want to find, so I'm looking for it. People are looking for happiness. Looking, they want to be happy. That's what people are running around, most of what they're doing in life because they want to be happy. Yes, some security, some knowing, but they want to be happy in the end. Like this. That's now in the, I think it's in a Kathopanishad, where it was pointed out that what happens, the senses are all pointing outwards. Right? They say it. So using a little bit sarcastic language there, which says the God has ruined us by making the senses go outwards. So we can shift the blame. I'm caught up in the worldly things because of the God. It doesn't shift the blame. The way it's written a little bit like this. So what happens then is, so I want to see things. I want to hear things. I want to taste things. So it's going out. So how am I going to look in towards the Atma? How am I going to do that? Where I'm always extrovert in this way. Okay. So this is what it says. And what happens then is, people look for the happiness then in things, situation, in interaction with other people, looking for there all the time. Right? So you say, I love this, right? I love my family I want to spend time with, right? I love traveling in this, all these things. So all anything, people have all the bumper stickers that I love this, I love that, right? I love to be this, I love to do that. So we think that it's we're going to get it from there. But now what happens is, if the happiness is within that, if we're looking for it, that is something is intrinsic. I want to find where happiness is intrinsic. It's kind of like, the example is given, you want to find what is sweet, then sugar is sweet. It's intrinsic. If I have some tea and it's sweet, then it's not intrinsic to the tea, just something was added. The sugar was added. It's not intrinsic to it. So if the happiness is intrinsic to something, then it has to be there all the time, just like in sugar, it's always going to be there. You're never going to not have it. Or the other example that gives the fire. Fire is hot, right? Anywhere you go, fire is hot. You're not going to go, you go to anywhere in the world, you go visit somebody, another planet, another galaxy, fire is hot. So this is water, sometimes hot, sometimes not, depending if it came in contact with heat. With fire, becomes warm, becomes hot. If not, it's not. So it can borrow it, but it's not intrinsic to it. So you're looking for something where happiness is intrinsic. If it's in the object should always give you the happiness, right? So now what happens is we say, okay, it's in this type of food. This, in these sweets, this is the ultimate happiness. I love this. Very good. So you eat it, you're very happy. But if it's intrinsic to it now, you'll eat it again. Now, okay, it was nice. You'll eat some more. Okay, that was enough. Then one more, and you want to throw it. You want to throw it at the person who's giving it to you, right? Where'd the happiness go? So if it's intrinsic in there, how could that be? The happiness be there? So this is an important thing, meaning that it has to be there all the time, in all places, all conditions. Otherwise, it's conditional. And we want to just be happy. Do we want to be conditionally happy? I'll say, okay, I'll be happy. If I'm happy, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and for a few hours in the evening, and on weekends for a few more hours, then that'll be enough. maybe somebody will sign a contract with that because they're thinking they can't be fully happy. But even if they do, there's still the innate desire will be, I just want to be happy. I don't want to be unhappy like this. So looking for that. So meaning looking in the wrong way, obviously. It's not working. And people are trying and trying, but they're not finding it. Not finding. People look for it in all things, of course, family and everything. Very nice, and we love the family and all, but does that give you the full happiness? If it was giving the full happiness, you wouldn't be sitting here. You'd be totally happy, content. Why come here? Why look for elsewhere? So meaning that, yeah, there's nothing wrong with, but that doesn't totally fulfill what I'm looking for. So this idea that it's somewhere out there is part of the problem in the end, right? That I'm looking for it somewhere in some situation, some condition, okay, in this way. Now what happens is, so in this discussion between Yajnavalkya and between Maitreyi. Then what happens is he says like this. He says the first he says the husband, because she's the wife. The husband isn't dear for the wife for the husband's sake, but for the self's sake. Meaning, you want to be happy, so something or someone else is there, brings the happiness, because you're looking for the happiness. Atmanastu kamaya jayapriyam bhavati, something like this. The wife is happy. Here, the wife is happy. So there, it's patihi priyam bhavati. He says the husband, and then he also says wife. So it doesn't sound like I'm only saying, okay, I'm only there for your sake. You know, you like me for your sake. You love me for your sake. Because the thing is, somebody wants to be content, happy. The other person makes them angry. Okay, go. I don't want to talk to you now. Where did that happiness come from? The love come like this, right? So what happens is, for the self, the meaning for that, I want to be content. This is what it is. I'm selfless. Yes, I'm doing things for others because I feel that now I feel content by doing it. If I don't see a difference between them, I have any problems. So there, I don't have anything to talk about, right? Like this. So we want to find the in the end, it's for oneself happiness. This is what I want, like this. This is what I'm looking for. Now, what we say is, where can we find this contentment, this happiness? Where am I going to find it? Right? So now, we say, well, that happiness is your nature. That's what we're saying. The content, the full happiness, the joy, that naturally it's your nature. You'll say, how come? How come then I don't experience all the time? How come? How can it be like this? Right? Well, what happens is this. When I feel miserable, right? I'm not happy. I'm trying to get rid of that, right? What is unnatural, I'm trying to get rid of it. Something's the I, it's not natural to it, I'm trying to get rid of it. What's unnatural, you try to get rid of, right? You come and see somebody, and they're sad. You say, what happened? Right? What's wrong? They're happy. You say, what's wrong? Maybe in some places they do. Maybe in certain places people are usually, you know, leading a miserable existence. So if somebody's happy, you ask them, what's wrong with you? But it's not the usual case, right? That's one thing. That when I'm happy, I don't think, okay, what do I need to get? What do I need to do? When not, I'm saying, where is that? Shows when it's there, then I'm a natural, it's like natural state. The water reaches a lower level, it's there, it's standing. Right? When it can flow down, okay, it'll keep flowing until it reaches a place where it doesn't need to flow, it'll just be there. So it reaches a natural state, it's not trying to do anything. So this is one thing. Now, what is our favorite time pass in the world is going to another state of consciousness, right? Called sushupti, deep sleep. Wonderful pastime, we love it. So in deep sleep, I'm not trying to get to anything, not trying to be happy from anything, but I say, oh, I slept so well. It was wonderful. Ananda, right? Anandamaya. So it also shows when I put everything else aside, then happiness, it's there, it's intrinsic. Right? Direct reflection of the ananda of atma. Direct, without any... when I'm in the waking up, it seems that it's coming from something else. Seems that it's from somewhere else. But there's nothing else. Where else can it come from? Right? So when I'm happy now from something, I think it's coming from there. It's just that the ego's agendas and all the nonsense the mind has put aside, so the joy from within is more present. It makes it more apparent. But then what happens is the stuff comes back and covers it up again, and then I'm looking for it again. So what happens is the eyes. But then I think, oh, that brought me the happiness. Let me repeat that, so it'll bring me more happiness again. Thinking that it's coming from the outer thing, right? This is what we say is Maya, right? That I think that that's the source of it, but it isn't the source. It's a mistake. That's not the source of where the happiness. I myself am that source. So this is the issue, that as I keep looking for it there, it's a problem. One excellent advice Swami Tattvirananda gives, really excellent. He says like this, when you're trying to be happy, by trying to be happy, you're making yourself not happy. Because just the trying itself means you're not happy. Like this. He says, stop trying to be happy, you'll have no problem with happiness anymore. You won't have any problem with getting happiness. It's there. But by trying, you're denying yourself of this. Very interesting, right? Because it seems, from worldly perspective, counterintuitive that by not trying to be happy, then I'll be happy. Right? But when you're not trying, you're just there. Actually, there was some documentary I saw a while ago, and it's very interesting. What happens is they found that when they look at poor people, usually there's more happiness, more contentment, because there isn't so much complication trying to get this, that, you know, if the person is really starving, really not having a place to stay, so much difficulty, maybe not, but with a very simple life, because there's less complexity, less expectation, less worry about the objects and everything. So actually, in the end, you see more smiling and more relaxed and more content like this. Interesting, where we think that having so much more is going to do it. But, and I can just say, you know, my wife's family in India, right? Very simple, you know. Till recently, most of them hand to mouth. Still one is, one of three sisters. Very simple. But they're very content. Most of them are very content, simple. One little thing comes, oh, it's a big thing. One Saturday comes, oh, they'll be happy for it for months, and then it's a big thing, you know. Because when it's simple, then you're happy with simple things like this. But again, here it doesn't mean it's still if it's happy because of something. So it's not that this is the absolute solution. Simple life is useful and helpful, but that's not what it's going to solve. Getting rid of all the things also, we don't have to. We just have to understand the differences like this. Okay, so in this way. Okay, now what happens also is, the love for anything other than self is going to be conditional, right? If it wasn't conditional, then how come the divorce lawyers are making a lot of money? Right? So what happens is love for anything else, there is some conditions involved. Something is there. Like this. But love for self, unconditional. There's no question about it. And actually love for something else because it has some connection to me. Like this. Some connection to me. Then that's why the love is there. It's helping to bring out something, some feeling like this in me. So that's why the love for that. Okay. In this way. So really, it's the self-love. That's unconditional. You'll say, well, some people are very depressed. They, you know, they'll say, I hate myself, right? I want to suicide, people, I want to suicide of this, right? Like this, because, it's not the self, it's the condition. A condition, I hate this experience. I don't want this experience. It's not myself. Right? That we're confused in between those two things. So the condition is one thing. Myself has nothing to do with the condition. It's the confusion of the two. Okay. So this is the difference between this. Why it's not why everybody will have that love for the self. Somewhere in the Upanishad also says that people are living because of Ananda. That's really not from prana, not from food, not from any of these things. Because the thing is, if the the joy to be alive is gone, the person is going to deteriorate very quickly. I've seen it happen. Probably other people have seen when somebody's so depressed, they'll deteriorate very fast. Right. So there's no impetus to wake up and get up and live. So very interesting like this. Okay. So let's see a few other nice things. So one thing then is, there isn't, when my love is for other things, right? Then that, when I say love for something, because love is my nature, like this, that's my nature, we say. No, that is Atma. Real, pure love is Atma, like this. Because it's, you know, everything is connected, everything is one then. Well, what happens is love for something else, then it's tinged with some attachment, some ego is there. This is what happens. So it's not just the pure love like this. This is the difference. So there'll be some attachment involved there, some expectation involved. Now, of course, the thing is here, it says that putra, the son or daughter, vita, wealth, adaya, meaning etc., meaning, okay, the spouse, meaning the dog, meaning the vacation house, right, meaning whatever it is, anything you want to put there also, these things, sheshataya priyaha, as auxiliary, they bring the happiness. They help to bring it out for me. They help to bring the joy out for me, love out for me, have it manifest. So there's nothing wrong with, it's kind of like example one of the Mahatmas gave is, said, can you bring me a cup of coffee? So you bring in a cup. So the cup is there. Does he need the cup? You don't need the cup for anything. But otherwise, how do you give him the coffee? Right? So it helps to bring it out. And the thing is, the good thing then is, then it helps. Now, what will happen is there will be some tinge of the attachment, but it can help me to learn to differentiate. Just like we discussed in great detail in Panchadashi, and not as detail now, I think also in Dikta Shoriveka, read some of it, where what happens is the mind and everything is very useful. The upadhi is very useful for my viveka. I'm just the conscious being, and that's it. Okay, for a little while I can see you're just the conscious being, but then afterwards you have to deal with everything else. And where did my unlimitedness go? Oh no, what happened to it? Poor me now. Right? So actually, before I got into Vedanta like this years back, somebody said, oh, I meditate so nice, I feel so good, but then I go to work and all this trouble, how do I deal with? It's because of the meditation is like this, to feel that, not the viveka. So this is what happens. So it helps also the viveka. Can I see the difference between the attachment and the love? Like this. Because then it can help to bring the love out, and it'd be a wonderful tool for learning to have the love come out, learn to have it be, you know, not be something that is do with that attachment. Because actually, from, you know, perspective karma or perspective spiritual growth, that's what family is for. So you can learn to love and be selfless. Like this. I do it, I want to gain something, then it's something else, like this. Now, what happens is the more the attachment, expectation in this, meaning that attachment, I have expectation, want to have some control over a situation. This is a very good thing about having family members, you won't have that control. You can try, but you'll never have the full control. Even though the wife is the boss, she never has the full control. She has maybe more control, but... But in any case, what happens is, when I'm trying to control attach, I get bound. My trying to bind something, I'm now bound, because that thing now is controlling me. When I give it freedom, I'm free. Right? So the attachment in the end, who is suffering from it first? It's the one who is attached, the one who's trying to control. That is the one who is actually having the more difficulty, because you're bound by that idea. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So this is something that we, and when you give freedom, you're free. Swami Dayananji would say that you have to give real love, you give freedom. You give full freedom, then you have full freedom. Very nice, like this. This is actually one thing I learned from some of the Mahatmas I've seen, is they did, Swami Tattviranandja, he opened my eyes something very nice some years ago. He said, yes, you teach a class, very good, you should. But just give love, don't expect it. You just give love to the people, that's it. Because people have classes and they expect the people to come. They want to have this many people. They'll try to proselytize. Please come to the class, come. We have a nice thing next time, please. All this stuff happens. Organizations have that, they need to keep running and everything, but it's also a trap because you are trying to do that. You're trying to get it going. So then you are now trying to make the people do what you want them to do. Meaning now you're attached and controlling it. There is some sort of desire to control. So then you have your expectation there, and then you get caught by that. So this is an important, very important point in how we can see the difference. And so the more, less expectation, the freer I will be. And actually, when one has love for specific love like this, then without attachment, won't be limited. Then it's not limited to one thing or the other. In one of the nice examples given of this to show it very, very clearly in Ramayana. Ramayana, Dasharatha, right, has strong attachment to Lord Rama, right? That strong attachment, what happens to him? He dies because of this attachment. And so it shows even he has the God incarnated his son, still the attachment causes all the problem like this. So this is a nice point that is pointed out there. Okay? Like this. Then what happens is some nice examples with this is that, so if you, I say I love somebody, meaning it's conditional. What happened one time years back, Swami Prebananji in Uttarakashi was much younger, he's now in his mid-80s, so his mother came to visit, and she would a lot of the time there, saying, my son, like this. He's renunciated everything. So he scolded her. Mahatmas like this, if the real Mahatmas, they're free, meaning that what's needed, they're going to give. It's not that there's some expectation or this. So that's why, they'll act lovingly, but some of the time, use some drama for something if you want, like this. So his scolder said, if you really love me, you love all the young men like this. Why just me have to take care of all of them? How many poor people, poor wanderers are living near you? Are you not their mother too? And that really changed, that when she went back to Odisha, the rural place wherever it was, she took care of a lot of poor people and really expanded her vision like this, not to just think this one's mine like this. What a wonderful gift like this. So in this example, like this, so that I love somebody, it helps maybe, as I said here, as the auxiliary, but it's auxiliary to have that. They give me the opportunity to see the reflection of my love and also reflection of my ego, and I have to differentiate between them. And the ego, I'm the one who suffers from it. Right? They say that the demons, in Rama's time, in Krishna's time, the demons were outside and they fought with them. But what happens is, so they defeated the external demons, they needed a place to hide. So where are they hiding now is within the mind. So now we have to deal with them there. So the ego is, all these things are within me. So then I have to see the difference like this between them. Okay. Now part of it then is also, so I love my guru in this, I respect, but what about others around? Oh, they're not nothing. So one time in the ashram in Rishikesh, actually Swami Vishnu Ravanandaji, he was given a project by Swami Shivananda to build his Maha Samadhi place ahead of time. Set it up. Swami Shivananda would go line and note, you have to make it bigger, it's not big. So some carpenter is working there like this. And so he was with Swami Shivananda. Swami Shivananda must have asked something about what project, whatever. So Swami Vishnu called, oh, carpenter, come, like this. So Swami Shivananda said to him, why do you talk to him like this, oh, carpenter? Right? Some other senior Swami comes, you say, Maharaj, and this, why are you calling him like this? So in this way also, how I see others also makes a difference like this. That I have my limited view, and then some of them fall into this and some not. Yeah, we don't treat everybody exactly the same, it's true, but the thing is, how am I seeing them makes a difference, because that again is my vision. I limit my own vision in this way. So all these things are things that I have to look in and see, because in the end, I'm limiting myself. So when Yajnavalkya is discussing with Mike today, takes a few things, and the last one is sarvam, everything. That atmanasu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Everything, whatever you want, is dear. It's dear for the atma's sake. Because it becomes becomes a tool to help that to manifest in this way. Helps this to manifest. Now, if you take it from the perspective of chit, for instance, I see shows that I'm aware. Right? I feel that shows that I'm aware. So it helps to show that, but we get caught up in this specific part, the specifics, the nama-rupa, right? Specific experience manifestation in this way. Instead of it shows me I'm aware. Right? And anything I experience shows me there's sat, there's presence. Show me it's present. I see, meaning there's something. Then I put nama-rupa on it. It's present, meaning there's existence. But then my mind goes and separates. So here too, any opportunity like this to serve, love, be happy from something shows me this. But then I get caught up in that specific thing and try to limit it to that in this way. So where it's just expression of myself, of the consciousness, the conscious being that I am, okay, in this way. So, one of the most stories that's most told about this, which is to show this example, is that there is a dog that is a city dog, so they don't get out too much. Poor dog has to stay inside a lot instead of being able to roam around outside. They say, man's best friend, but what have we done to them? Domesticate them like this, not let them live their life like this. So once in a while, gets to go outside. So one time got to go outside, wandering around so happy, and it wants to find something real to chew on, right? Not this dog food thing, but the real, and finds a bone. Oh, I'm so happy. Look at this. How wonderful. I'm so lucky. So now the bone, of course, is very old and dry. So chewing and chewing, it's not getting to anything. There must be something here. Let me look. It keeps saying, I'm going to find something. And it keeps chewing it a lot. And what happens, eventually the bone breaks and becomes sharp and cuts the inside of the dog's mouth. And then it starts tasting the blood. Oh, I knew there was some tasty blood here. Right. Oh, so tasty, it's saying like this. Now it's thinking that it's coming from the object there. But really it's coming from its own mouth like this. So I say, oh, this is so wonderful. Really? So what happens is, yes, some of my stuff that I got caught up, put it aside. So it's not in my way now. So my joy can come out. But then I think it's coming from that object. This is what happens. So this is how we get caught up in it. Or what I want the please self. I just want to be happy, please, because my nature. I want to be content. But then again, I'm looking for it in these certain situations and conditional. And conditional is, unfortunately, conditional. It won't be. This is what happens is something's nature cannot be changed. Like we said, the fire will be hot, the sugar will be this. Oops. Boy. The WhatsApp, I have it set on my computer not to ring. It wants to ring. These apps, they decide to do their own things. They control us more than we control them, I'll tell you. Better have fewer apps. So in any case, so what happens is, where did I go aside there? Conditional is condition. So something's nature can't be changed. The fire is hot like this. We gave the example. So the nature of conditions of things is that it changes. That's its nature. The nature world is change. So the change, something that is bringing happiness now, that thing may change. Right? Over time it may change and not do the same. Oh, I used to really like this. I used to really like to go and do this. But they change it. It's not the same anymore. I used to travel to this place, it was very nice, but it's not the same anymore. So it changes. Now the thing is, that's changed, but I, the individual, also change. Right? That was bringing happiness, but I kind of got tired of it. I used to hang out with these friends, but you know, I'm not interested in what they're interested in anymore, like this. So I also change. So you're both changing targets. And the thing is, like they say that the stopped watch is right twice a day. So somehow things align by chance, and oh, the worldly thing aligned, and oh, I'm happy with that, like this. Where, and then I think, yes, that's doing it. But I forget that's conditional. So since it's conditional, the condition won't always be like this. But the unconditional is, but what I'm looking for, the unconditional, that I can find within myself only. I can't find somewhere else. Because at the moment it's else, meaning I'm looking at the changing world. So that's why that's not where it can be found. I can only find it within myself. That's the only place where it's solid. And so that's where you really find it. The full freedom, full happiness, contentment, only I can find as myself, not as something else. Nowhere else. And it's unconditional. So it's there regardless. This is the thing, doesn't matter. That's why even the more difficult situations, Mahatmas will be content like this. Because what is it? It's, you know. Actually, if you remember the FIR like this, right, we said? So what the frequency, intensity, and recovery period. So we said the Mahatma, this time between what and so what will be minimal. Because it's just, you know, the conditional things are very small like that, not the major things. Let's see what else here. I think that covers a good amount of this. Yeah. So this helps to pointing out this, the source of love. This is pointing about the ananda aspect of Atma, ananda. And so what I'm really looking for, the love, the joy, it's going to be just like the not being limited, that is in this nature, in my nature like this. So that is it, but, you know, just like the other, the security and the I'm looking for elsewhere, you know, to the knowingness through knowing things I'm looking for elsewhere, same with this one, I'm looking for it elsewhere in this way, where then I don't see where it's from, because, and it's all because the God created us with the senses going outward, so you can blame the God, meaning I haven't done the vichara like this. I'm not seeing looking at the things as they are. I'm the one who is seeing the snake. I'm the one who has to look at it closely. Nobody else can do. We can always blame somebody else for doing it. But then, meaning in Vedanta, we say, you know, I have to look at it. I want to look at it. I want to know. I don't blame. If I blame the problems elsewhere, somebody else, then I won't look into it. In the end, I have to look into I have to fix it. I have to own up to it, and I have to go to the reality of it. Because in the end, ultimately, all the problems because of me. You know, of course, you know, something happens. Yeah, something happens. But the thing that it becomes a problem is different. That's because of me. Physically, there can be pain, but suffering, I make it into suffering. Like this, it's not, the suffering isn't something that comes from outside, it's something that I create from my mind, like this. Okay. So this is pointing that out. So the beings or things that, like the sun and wealth, etc., that are auxiliaries to bring the joy, the love, really what is the most, the absolute source, highest source of love is from I, the awareful being, like this. This one, I have to ascertain, I have to see for myself, like this. I have to look into and see for myself. So this is what this is pointing out here. Okay, let's finish with that here for today.
Gives you heat back, and we're very glad that, you know, that sheet warmed me. So there are, you know, so many examples of where we really intrinsically are bringing to ourselves everything we need. And so they say everything you need is within you, everything you want is outside of you. And so it sort of, you know, ties into that very nicely.
Yeah, interesting.
Another question from last time, actually.
Yes, Radha.
We were talking about being fully present, and we're saying, if I quoted you right, when you're fully present, you don't feel limited. There's no real waking or dream state there.
Okay.
But when we're fully present, aren't our senses still there?
The same?
When you're fully in the present moment, my senses almost get more intensified when I'm really present, it feels like.
Yes, but the thing is, if you're fully present, so meaning I'm not there because of past conditioning isn't taking over, right? Then where is the limitation? Because the limitation means I'm here, that's there. I like this, I don't like, all this stuff comes up, which conditions the present. Okay, seeing is there, it appears. But the thing, the moment I say it's seeing, and then I'm starting to separate and to analyze, then I'm not fully present. Then the dream, the past is coming in. The past is coming in. The conditioning is coming in. So when I'm really present, okay, it doesn't matter what you see, what you hear, let it be, whatever it is. But the thing is, you're just present, right? And so now... So are you an individual then? You're an individual only when you bring the time factor in, not present. And again, the thing isn't specifically for the experience, it's for to remember that we did this with comparing the waking to the dream. We said it, anything but the present moment is going to be considered as the same as dream, because it's not from the senses directly. There's no input from senses, just your mind. right? The moment it's not from the senses, it's from your mind, then it's past future, meaning it's same as dream state. It's not different than dream state. It's only you, meaning your projections, your ideas. So when you're really present, even I'm saying it's seeing, the fact that I'm saying it's seeing, that's a conditioning, right? I'm aware, right? Something is far and near, that's a conditioning. When you're really present, yeah, those things are there, but the main thing was, when you're really present, where's your waking state? It's not the waking state you have. Yes, there's some experience, but the experience itself isn't going to be binding like this. How will it bind you? Because again, the moment you talk about experience, then it's not going to be, it's not Atma. You can't say, I experienced the in presence, so now Atma. Yes, absolute presence is Atma, you can say. But just because I'm right here now doesn't mean that now that Atma is going to show up in front of me, because it can't. But that's the main thing, is that way, when you're really just present, where is the limitation? The limitation has to come with adding other things, so the waking state itself isn't what we take it to be. Right? Like that. Mm-hmm. Without your conditioning, where's your waking state? Very good. So let's finish then, I think. The questions have been used up too. So good. We'll have a good week. We'll see you next time.